We didn't have a funeral or a wedding in Florida. We had an anniversary, but families usually get together. It seems like the big ones at funerals and weddings. We just had a funeral yesterday. Bob's father passed away, and God did some things, and we're thankful for that. That's a lot of times family gatherings, and the person that's kind of like the main person isn't there. But you know what? In heaven, all of our loved ones that went to heaven, that are saved, they'll be there. Everybody that's a loved one that's saved will be there. By the way, that's why we want to get our loved ones saved. Amen. We work for that. Bob called me on my way down to Florida and told me his dad was in a coma and he was on life support and he was breathing. And Bob said, you know, Pastor, what's your counsel? And I said, well, let's give him 3 days, or ask the family to give him 3 days, and don't cut that off, and ask God to do something special so that you can talk to him again, make sure about giving him the gospel, that he understands it. And I asked God, I said, Lord, I ask you to make sure that he doesn't leave until I know he's going to heaven, until you've blessed that. And if you bring him out of that coma, I'll be encouraged that you're going to do that. And he miraculously came out of the coma. And he got off the life support, and he asked Bob for some food, or asked for some food. And Bob got to give him the gospel again, one more time. And he was able to have some time. And then God took him home this past Monday. But there's going to be a reunion. And that's the first thing we're going to do. Then after the reunion is going to come in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. And that's where every one of us have to stand before the Lord and give an account for what we've done with our time, what we've done with our talents, what we've done with our money, what we've done with our gift as far as the Lord. And we're going to have to do that in heaven. And the Bible says that there are going to be rewards given out, and there's going to be loss of reward. Some people are going to be saved and know that they're saved, but they're going to be saved by fire. The Lord's going to burn up their works because their works have not been invested in the Lord's work, and those judgments are given there in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ at that time, because of what? Why is that the time? That's, by the way, between day 6 and day 30, while the Lord's getting ready to reclaim the earth, that the bowl judgments are being poured out on earth, but we're in heaven. Why is it that he waits till right at the end to do that? What's coming up that relates to those rewards? Yes.
He's going to assign different works for them to go back to earth and do.
That's right. You're going to have jobs to do. You're not going to be floating around on clouds. We're going to have jobs to do on earth. And you know what? Based on how faithful you were with what God gave you to do, here will be your jobs in the millennial kingdom of Christ on earth. You will be working on earth for the Lord. And we'll run the world during that time. And so that's what the rewards are all about. And then after the judgment seat of Christ, there's one more event in heaven. I think we talked about it. Yes, we did talk about it. What happens in heaven? There's the reunion. You, your loved ones in the Lord. There's the judgment seat of Christ for your rewards, so you can get ready to reign on the earth. And then there's one more event in heaven still going on between day 6 and day 30. Anybody know what that is? One more event. Marion again, she's getting them all today.
I'm not sure of it.
Okay.
Is it that the devil is banished forever?
Well, we're going to get to that. This is on earth. I mean, this is in heaven still. With us, while the judgments are happening, the bowl judgments, and the earth is literally being destroyed. I mean, God's going to just destroy the earth. We're in heaven. It's kind of like being in Florida when the bad weather's, you hear about all the bad weather we heard about in Michigan, and my folks, thankful they were down in Florida missing that. But one more thing's going to happen. It's called the marriage of the Lamb, where we have a wedding. And we are married to Christ. Right now we're engaged to Christ, or we're espoused to Him. We're legally married to Him, but the ceremony hasn't taken place. There's going to be a wedding service in heaven. And after the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to have on our wedding garment, which is going to be the result of the righteousness that Christ has given us and that we've lived out in our lives. And we're going to have that wedding garment on, and it will beautify our lives. And that's going to be in heaven, a beautiful ceremony in heaven. By the way, the reception will be on earth. And that will be called the marriage supper. That's not going to be until he reclaims and cleanses up the earth on the first day of the millennium. Then we're going to have the marriage supper, and the angels are going to serve that dinner, and we're going to be the bride of Christ. It is so exciting, the future that awaits us. That's all going to take place in heaven. Those three things, the reunion, the judgment seat of Christ for rewards, and then the marriage ceremony. And now we come to chapter 20 and see what happens in chapter 20. Let's turn there, and it says in chapter 20, verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. All right, now, what's got to happen here? Who's been defeated? Who's already been defeated in the Battle of Armageddon? Well, we know the beast has. We know the false Christ has been defeated. But it says that this angel comes down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And verse 3, cast him into a bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him. Him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now I want to ask you a philosophical question. First of all, we have different dispensations in the Bible. Some argue, how many dispensations do we have? Some say just two, Old Testament, New Testament, two dispensations. And there's a sense in which that's true. But within that, there are different dispensations. What you say, what's a dispensation? A dispensation is like an administration. We just had the Bush administration for 8 years. Now we're going to have, as of January 20, President Obama's administration. And there'll be different people in that administration, right? And there'll be different kind of government going on. Well, a dispensation is a certain administration of God's program on earth. And we had, before the fall, the dispensation of innocence, for instance. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, there was no death, there was no sin. That was a dispensation, an administration of God's working on earth. And then after they sinned, he had to set up something else, and he set up another dispensation. All right. After they sinned, some call it the dispensation of conscience, because we didn't have the law then, we didn't have a Bible then, so it was dispensation of conscience. Then we go into the dispensation of human government after the flood and all that, and then the law, the dispensation of the law, and so forth. But the final dispensation of God's working on earth is going to be what? It's in Revelation 20. Anybody know what that'll be? It lasts for a certain amount of time. Yes.
Well, the devil is going to be chained.
The devil's going to be chained, put in the bottomless pit. So that's the only time the devil has been chained. The only time he has not been able to get to the world at all. It'll be the only dispensation where that's the case. But what's that called? That time when he's chained. Tells you how long in the Bible he'll be chained. Greg? That's the millennium. Millennium stands for 1,000. 1,000 years, he'll be bound. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. By the way, that's literal. When the plain sense of Scripture makes sense, seek no other sense. That's the literal interpretation. It is 1,000 years. I was brought up in a church where they said 1,000 is a symbolic number. And Christ, when he died on the cross, he bound Satan. And so Satan has been bound for all this time. He can't do what he used to do. And we're living in the millennium now. But the millennium isn't a literal 1,000 years. And that view basically nullified the literal Scripture. And it's called the amillennial view. Family Radio, Harold Camping, he believes that view. It's wrong. It's not a literal interpretation of Scripture. When the literal sense of Scripture makes sense, seek no other sense. All right? So that is the 1,000 years, and Satan will be bound. That is a dispensation. Now, here's the philosophical question, though. Every dispensation ends in human failure. Innocence in the Garden of Eden, if Adam would have just obeyed, the world would have been beautiful. And Adam, even if Eve disobeyed, he would have got a new wife, and it would have been beautiful. But he failed. He sinned. It ended in failure and judgment. All right. The next dispensation was the dispensation of conscience. They didn't have the Bible yet, but they had a conscience and God was working with them. They didn't have the death penalty yet. If you killed somebody, God marked Cain, but they didn't give him the death penalty yet. There wasn't the human government. So how did that end in failure? The dispensation of conscience and judgment. Anybody know how that ended? The flood. You were going to say it? All right. The flood. Got to draw quicker. The flood. And then we had the law, where God gave the law and he chose the nation of Israel, and Israel had the law of God. And how did that end in failure? How did the dispensational law end in failure? Or maybe we could say, what was a great failure under law? What happened to Israel? Yeah, Greg?
No, they were dispersed.
Yeah, they were dispersed and brought into captivity. The Assyrians took the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom was taken by the Babylonians. Then they came back. They were still under law. And they came back after dispersion. You say, oh, they're doing pretty good. But then they crucified Christ. And the Romans came in 70 AD and judged them for that, and as a nation, because they rejected their Messiah. So law ended in failure. But now Christ has died, he's buried and risen again. We're in the dispensation of the church dispensation. We're in the dispensation of what we call grace. The gospel dispensation, the gathering in of the nations, and we all know that this dispensation is going to enter into success, that we're going to win the whole world and everybody's going to get saved and then the millennium is going to happen, right? No. This is going to end in failure too. Because the Bible says evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, and God is going to judge the world because of the failure of the world to receive the gospel. And what is that judgment called? Well, it's called the day of the Lord's wrath. And that's the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments of the book of Revelation. So every dispensation ends in failure, but there's one more dispensation left, the millennium. Satan is bound. Christ is reigning. We're reigning with him. That can't end in failure, right? I ask you, does it? Or does it not? Brother Greg?
Essentially, yes, it does. There's an insurrection.
There's insurrection at the end of it and rebellion. It's going to be the greatest dispensation of the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. It's going to be a beautiful world that will be like the Garden of Eden. And Satan is going to be let out at the end of it just to see what will happen. And you know the kids that are born during that time? They're going to be able to live to be old and young. And if they die at 100 years old, that'll be like a baby dying. I mean, they'll be living to be long. 900 years old, you know, just living long lives. But you know what? Those kids that were born during that millennium, All the people going into the millennium will be saved people. But those kids that will be born during the millennium, many of them will not get saved. They'll go along to get along, but they will not be saved. In their heart, listen to me, in their heart, they really do not have a new heart. They do not have the new birth, and they're not really going to be born again. And so when the devil is let out of his prison, he's going to gather those people. And they're going to march on Jerusalem and attack it again from four corners of the world. And it's going to end in judgment. God's going to have to judge them with fire. And that will end all the dispensations. I think you can count seven of them from paradise or innocence through conscience right on up to the millennium. And everyone ends in failure and judgment. Now here's my philosophical question. Why is that? Why does it always end in failure, even when Satan is bound? What is God showing us? Greg?
That humans can't really make it on their own. And there's always, he always receives glory and sends it in a remnant. That's what's left that makes their own choice.
That's exactly right. Human nature without God will always fail. Will always fail, even if it's in a perfect situation, like at the beginning and like at the end, like in the Garden of Eden at the beginning and in the millennium at the end. It will always end in failure. And that tells you you need the grace of God, and that gives God the glory. God gets the glory. And so that's the lesson here that we need to learn, and that was very good to go over that. All right, now we see that is going to happen, and then we see in verse number 4, go to verse 4, it said, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. All right, that's verse 4. Now look at verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. All right, so you have two resurrections here. The first resurrection is the one he's been describing. But there's going to be another resurrection, verse 5 talks about, that they live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. So the first resurrection is the resurrection of the saved. The last resurrection is the resurrection of the damned. And in chapter 20, we're going to go right from the end of the 30 days and the final judgments of all of that. We're going to go right through that, right through the end of the millennium. We're going to go right through that all the way up to that judgment, that final judgment for the second resurrection. And that's going to be right at the end of chapter 20. We'll talk about that at the end of chapter 20, because he wants us to know. Which resurrection would you rather be in, the first or the second? I'd rather be in the first. Now, it appears here that it's possible that there are a couple of different parts to the first resurrection. The main part of the first resurrection is going to take place when? When will the main part of the first resurrection take place? The most people that will experience. By the way, when I say the first resurrection, that's the resurrection of those that are saved. Saved when they're being raised from the dead. Denny?
About 3.5 years into the 7 years of death.
All right, it'll be during the second half of the 7 years, the second 3.5 years. We don't know the day or the hour, but sometime during the second 3.5 years of the 7 years. And what do we commonly call that? It's in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What do we commonly call that event that will happen? The resurrection of the saved? Yes.
The rapture.
The rapture. So the saved that are dead will be raised. The living saved will be changed and will meet the Lord in the air. And that's where most of the people will go up during the first resurrection. Now, of course, the Lord was raised from the dead. He's the first one to get raised from the dead himself, right? So he's the first fruit. So the first resurrection, the first fruit of the first resurrection was Jesus being raised from the dead 3 days after he's buried. And then comes the rapture. Sometime during the second half of the 7 years, the second 3.5 years, the Lord will return in the air, and he won't touch down in the earth. He'll return in the air, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. The angels will be sent and bring us up to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture. Now, it's possible that there'll be another aspect of that, because remember the two witnesses. On the fourth day of the 30 days, the Lord is going to raise them from the dead when he marches from Jordan up to Jerusalem, and he raises them because the beast has killed them, and Elijah and Moses are going to be raised, and that's a resurrection, part of the first resurrection. It looks like there may be another class of people that will be raised on the first day of the millennium. On the first day of the millennium, it's a special class of martyrs that we see in Revelation as souls under the altar after the fifth seal has been broken. And they're martyred. I believe they're Jewish martyrs who are going around Israel, and the Lord said in the Gospels they're to go from city to city and give the gospel. And apparently they're going to get a special resurrection, a special classification, and they'll have special honors in the millennium, and they're Jewish, a group of Jewish martyrs. And I see that in verse 4, I believe. All right, it says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, judgment was given unto them. And, notice, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded," they're the martyrs, "for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So, either two things are possible. Either these special class of martyrs are the final group raised on the first day in the millennium as part of the first resurrection, or they just get special mention here, and they were already raised at the rapture. It's debatable. I tend to think there's a special resurrection there for them. Eddie Brandt.
Open up the fifth seal.
Yes.
It says that, "How long, O Lord, would you not revenge our death upon the ones that took us?"
Yes.
And I said to wait a little while until the others have been dead. Now, would they be the one that we're talking about in the fourth?
That could very well be. That could very well be that this special, that's a very good observation, that could very well be that until the special class of martyrs that are going to get this reward on this first day of the millennium, until they all die, you got to wait. You got to wait, because I'm not coming back until that's all done. And then that's going to be done, and then they may be raised there and honored there, and that may be the case there. That's a good observation. I hadn't even noticed that before. I'll have to check that out more, but that's a good observation. And then in verse 5, it talks about the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. The one in verse 4 is the first resurrection. We just talked about it. Second resurrection we'll talk about at the end here, but we'll talk more about that, okay? Now look at verse 6. It said, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." That's what I want. That's what you want. And that's what we're promised, by the way, if we've been saved. We're promised that we'll be part of the first resurrection. The Lord said, "I guarantee you." And then on such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So according to this, if you're raptured and you meet the Lord in the air, what are you promised that will be true of you in verse number 6? Eric?
The second death will have no effect on you.
All right, number one, that you will not be part of that final judgment, and the second death will not hurt you. You will not experience the second death. You're promised that. That's a tremendous promise. Tremendous promise. By the way, most people are going to experience, unfortunately, the second death. So that's a tremendous promise. Not only that, though, what positively are you promised? That's a negative. You're going to escape that. What positively are you promised? Kim?
You'll reign 1,000 years.
You'll reign 1,000 years with Jesus Christ. You ever heard the meek shall inherit the earth? It's not the rich people that are trying to buy up all the gold and silver and own the earth. They're not going to control the earth. It's not those people that have the great powers of military that are going to control the earth. It's not the globalists that are planning this one world government that's going to rule at the end, that are part of this new world order thing that's going on and trying to bring Canada and Mexico and the U.S. together and all of this thing that we know the Bible says will happen. We talked about that on Watch Night. We had a big video on that. But it is God's people. Those of us that are saved, that we're going to rule and reign with Christ over the earth that he has cleansed and over people, and the government will be on his shoulder, but he's got to have mayors and he's got to have governors and he's got to have people in the judicial branch and he's got to have leaders, and that's going to be given to you and I. And so you're being prepared to reign with Christ, and that's what we should be looking forward to. And so it says, and verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." By the way, where is Satan's prison? Where is he locked up during the 1,000 years? Brother Eddie Brandt?
in the bottomless pit.
He's in the bottomless pit. Now, if you dug down in the earth, you know, they say dig to China. You ever heard that as a kid? We dig and they say, you keep digging, you're going to reach China. Well, you could never reach China. If you dug all the way through the earth, you'd get to China. By the way, the farthest people go in the earth is maybe just 2 or 3 miles in the earth with the greatest drills. And the earth is thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. We've never got farther than just scratch the crust of the earth, let alone get into the mantle and the core and all that. The bottomless pit, in the center of the earth, it's hollow and dark. And that's where hell is. And if you could drill, you would actually come to a place where it's hollow and it's bottomless, because there's no top or bottom. It's just a hollow circle. It's hollowed out. And that's where hell is. And that's where Satan is going to be. He's not there now. Satan is running around now. He's loose. His demons are loose. There are demons in hell, by the way, in a part of hell, but only some demons. And those are a special class of demons. Okay, they're going to be let out during the 70th week, by the way, some of them. Well, in fact, all of them for a time. But the hell is where Satan's going to be during the thousand-year reign of Christ. And, of course, that's where people go that are not saved. That's where they go right now. They go to hell. They go down. So it says there that he's going to be loosed out of his prison. By the way, while we're talking about that, can you imagine Satan suffering for 1,000 years in hell? He's not going to be enjoying that. 1,000 years. And he comes out of there and he doesn't say to God, God, you got the power. He goes out and he gathers another rebellion. Can you think of somebody else who's going to do that? Somebody's been in hell, is coming out of there. Eddie?
Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler, the beast. Satan's man. He's been in hell. He ruled the Seventh Beast Empire. He is coming out. I believe he's going to be or is right now in the body of a cloned individual. It's a clone of Hitler. It'll be his clone, using body fragments. Satanically aided and by technology. Soviets had the body fragments of Hitler. A book called The Fourth Reich by Bob Van Kampen starts out with that very thing going on. Hitler being cloned. But his soul and spirit are coming out of hell. And he is going to lead the world in this world government and once again try to take over the world. Remember, he tried during Nazi Germany. You ever heard of the rise and fall of the Third Reich? What was the Third Reich? That was the third rise of the Holy Roman Empire under Germanic rule, and he wanted to rule 1,000 years. That was his goal. He only ruled 12 years, but he killed 6 million Jews. He's coming back. He's the beast. And then there'll be his false Christ, his lieutenant. So he's coming out of hell. And likewise, Satan's going out of hell. And look what it says in verse 8. It says, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. That's how many people he'll get. By the way, why are there so many people? The population of the earth is going to be huge. Why will the population be so big? Real simple. Greg?
People are going to be living for a long time.
It's the same way in the beginning. Where did Cain get his wife? They had so many kids, they couldn't keep up with them. Generation after generation. Before the flood, people lived to be near 1,000 years old. The same thing's going to be here. And the population is going to explode, and the devil is going to be able to deceive people and lead them astray and bring this rebellion about. And in verse 9, it says, they went on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp, the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. All right, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. By the way, is the lake of fire the same as the bottomless pit? No. The lake of fire is different. That's where the beast and false prophet are going to be put right before the millennium starts. But Satan is going to hell in the center of the earth where hell is right now. That's where he's going until the end of the 1,000 years. Then he is going to be thrown in the lake of fire. You say, what is the lake of fire? I don't know. It could be a distant star. But whatever it is, it's a lake of fire. The sun is a lake of fire, is it not? It's the lake of fire, but I know it's not going to go out. So I don't know, but I know that that is where that this is going to be, and that's the final place where the Bible says that the devil is going to be tormented, and he'll never get out of there again forever and ever and ever. By the way, we're going to find out that after the final resurrection, people are not going to go to hell. They're going to be put in the lake of fire. So, let's say somebody gets arrested right now and they go to Lackawanna County Jail. And let's say they have a life sentence. Are they going to stay in Lackawanna for their life sentence? No, they're going to put them in a big penitentiary somewhere. Well, it's the same way here. If you're not saved and you die, you go to hell, which is at the center of the earth. But then, after this final judgment that we're going to talk about at the end of the 1,000 years, you're taken out of hell. And you're like, oh, thank God I'm out of here. But then you get judged, and then you go forever into the lake of fire. And it's forever. And so that's why it's so important that if you're not saved, that you make sure that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin, and that you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's so important, because there'll be a lot of people born during the millennium. They'll have godly parents, and they'll wind up in hell forever. And so it's important that you know that you're saved. And so it says right here that the devil is going to deceive these people. And then here's the final judgment in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face, notice this, the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, what is the book of life? The book of life is a book where people that are saved are written. Their names are written in the book of life. If you're saved, your name is going to be in the book of life. If you've not been saved, your name is not in that book. Notice, though, that we're going to be judged. The dead that experience this judgment are going to be judged according to what standard? Verse 12. What will be? You will be judged out of the books. All right. But what will be the standard in the book that will be your judgment? Greg.
Their works.
All right, it will be their works, and so all of the sins that you've done will be in there. And it'll be written there. All the secrets will be in there. And there's a list of those things. And those will be the things that will cause people to be judged. Now listen, you say, are there degrees of punishment in hell? Yes, there are degrees of punishment in hell. Hell is going to be worse for some than others. I can't understand. I wouldn't want to have the best of it. The best of it is still hell. But there are degrees of punishment in hell. And it's based upon the aggravation of your sin and how great your sin is. And I think one of the greatest sin of all would be to be close to truth and then to reject truth and to have the opportunity and to reject it. That's going to be a terrible thing. And so hell is going to be a place where people will be judged by their works. Will anybody be judged here at this judgment and then be able to get into heaven based on their record? No, because heaven is perfect, and you must be perfect to get into heaven. There'll be degrees of punishment in hell, but you'll never earn your way to heaven unless you're perfect, and there's nobody perfect. So everybody here is going to be condemned to hell. And the Bible says in verse 13 that this is a resurrection. The sea is going to give up the dead, and people are going to be raised. And so they're going to have their bodies. Now listen to me, and listen to me well. Hell is a place of death. If somebody dies and they go on the ground, what eats their body? Worms and bugs. And usually people that study that, forensic scientists, they can tell by the bugs and the worms that are in the body eating the flesh when the person died. Okay, that's a science. Now, here's something. Hell is a place of death. It's called the second death. Or the lake of fire now is the second death. It's a place of death. But you can never die out of the pain, because you're already dead. But your body has been raised, but it's not a resurrection, anti-decaying body. It's a dying body. But it's ever dying, but never able to die out. So it's called the second death. It's perpetual dying. Now here's what Jesus said about it. He said, it's a place where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. What does that mean? That body will have worms eating that body. Person be able to look down their body with worms eating their body, but never eat it up and never get out of that fire. That's hell. The Bible speaks of it just in our language day and night, forever and ever, so we can understand there's no let up. That's the most horrible thing I can think of. I would have never written that, but I didn't write the Bible. And that's the fact of what the Bible says. And so this is something that God warns us about. And he says here, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That just simply means people that have been in hell, they're getting out of hell to go to the judgment. They'll get a little break for the judgment, only to be condemned forever and be cast in the lake of fire. Now, body and soul. By the way, if they still have a drug habit, that's still in their body. It's a terrible thing. And it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's anybody that's not saved. And that's what it says. And that's how chapter 20 of the book of Revelation ends. All right, and we'll end our class here. Now, very important, I don't want you to miss this. Read chapter 21, and there has been a real error made about chapter 21. And I used to have this wrong understanding, and I'm going to show you next week what chapter 21 is really talking about and how to explain it. All right, we'll talk about that next week. Read chapter 21. I'll see you next week.